Well, it's the fourth Sunday of Easter. It's sometimes called Good Shepherd Sunday because all the Gospels speak of Christ. Now that he's risen from the dead, you know, how shall we regard him? And one of this fourth Sunday is devoted to considering him under the title Shepherd. Maybe as an introductory idea, I think a lot of people think of a shepherd as a kind of a consoling image, probably because of the 23rd Psalm. You know, it's, the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. You know, he leads me to green pastures and so on. My cup is overflowing. All those beautiful images of that psalm, and they are beautiful. But there's more to being a shepherd than just that, those kind of consoling images. above all, fundamentally, what we're confessing when we call Jesus our shepherd is that we're saying we're his sheep, and we listen to him, we obey him, we follow him. And so it's a kind of a confessional statement. When I say the Lord is my shepherd, I'm saying he's in charge. He's the shepherd. He's the Lord. He's the one that I follow. I listen to his voice, and I reject other voices contrary to his. So this is something important because I think today we often park ourselves at all these little consoling images. But this is an image not just of consolation, but of authority. Jesus has authority, and we need to recognize and remember that. Now, with that in mind, let's look also with this idea. If he's the shepherd, that means, you know, hey, y'all, we're the sheep. And, you know, you might think, well, gee, can't you do better than that, Jesus? Aren't we? Maybe we're more like eagles, or the majestic eagle, or beautiful gazelles, or the mighty horse, and the mighty lion. You know, sheep, are you sheep, really? Yeah, sheep. That's the image. But let's explore the image a little bit, and there's one particular point I'm going to want to dwell on. There's a number of qualities about sheep that we ought to maybe listen to and see how it also seems to apply to us, for better or for worse. So let's just kind of get started with three maybe more negative aspects of sheep. First of all, you know, they're wayward. They're wayward. You know, they wander off. And they need the constant care of a shepherd to keep them, you know, flocked up, so to speak, and got those sheepdogs running around, and you got the shepherd calling. And so these are the images, because sheep tend to be wayward. They wander off and get lost. They fall down a crevasse or a ravine so easily, see? Now, this, of course, is sadly true of us as well. We're wandering. You know, I think it's Isaiah 53 that says, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way." You know, we wander off so easily, and we fall in moral crevasses or ravines. We go down rabbit holes. I mean, just like a sheep, we just fall into this stuff. And the Lord has to keep coming and looking for us, and gosh knows what we're up to if he takes his eye off for a minute, you know. And this is our tendency. Let's just be honest. We wander very easily into all kinds of foolish, stupid, and harmful things, you know, and we get ourselves into trouble pretty quick. So that's an image that we have to accept, that we, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to his own way. We tend to be wandering or wayward, and it shouldn't be that way, but it is, and it's something we have to fight and get better at, staying close to Christ, not keeping taking our eye off of him, see. But we struggle with this, and so we need to, again, go before the Lord with humility and say, so easily do I wander. And I don't even just always wander into sinful things, but just sometimes lesser things or vain things or, you know. And then I also, yeah, I wander into sinful things, see. So, all right. So sheep are wayward. Now, the next quality about sheep is that they're witless. They're not very smart. They're not bright animals. They do have a certain kind of smarts we'll see in a minute. But we have to ponder that, you know, sheep are not all that bright. You can train a horse. You can, train up dogs and, all kinds of things, you know. But the sheep, no. Just kind of, is there kind of, it just grazes and just kind of looks dumb. Now, as I say, we'll see that they have a certain kind of smarts in a minute that we do want to imitate, but generally speaking, they're not intelligent animals at all. Now, we think, well, look at us, man. We're certainly kind of apply to us, you know. Look at all our technology and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, You know, so many people, they don't even know why they were born. They're chasing after butterflies and going after crazy stuff, you know. And we all know we got a screw loose up here. You know, we know things that are harmful for us, and we want them in abundance. And we know things that are good for us, and we don't seem to want them. You know, you've heard my analogy before, probably. You know, when you were a kid, you wanted Twinkies. You didn't want your green beans or your broccoli. You wanted Twinkies. Well, that's how we are, and we're attracted to things. Our desires are out of whack. And, you know, it's pretty dumb to be all attracted and interested in going crazy about stuff that we know can harm us, and not be interested in things we know can help us is not very bright. Now, in addition, you know, you see, there's an old saying that sin makes you stupid. And so in our culture today, we're dealing with a lot of really, really, I mean, almost unbelievable 4, 5, 6, 7, or 10 years ago, people who are so lost that they actually think, or at least support the idea, that a man can give birth to a child. Or that a man can be a woman, or a woman can be a man. Now, that's a lie. And yet, I'm not even worried about those who get lost in these lies. It's the way that so many of us just go along with it. And it's just, there's an old saying, don't be so open-minded that your brain falls out. You know, we're pretty witless, and sin makes us pretty dark and stupid when we can't even find the right bathroom. And we can't even, we don't know some guy says he's a girl and he swims in the girls' team and breaks all the records. And someone say, well, that's not fair. Yes, it isn't fair, but it's also a lie. It's a big lie. And the fact that people go along with this in large numbers is, well, sheep are witless, all right? For us, sin can really darken our intellect and make us believe a lot of lies. And we got to get our brain back and intelligence and reason. Everything's about feelings today. But feelings are just feelings. The intellect has to deal with what is. So, okay. We're pretty witless. You go, oh, yeah, I know we've been to the moon and back. We got all these fancy computers. But we don't even understand some of the most basic things in life. What makes for marriage and family? What what sexuality is about? What greed can do to us? We're lost and clueless on so much of this stuff. What's a man? What's a woman? You know. All right. Enough said. Sheep are wayward, and they're witless, and so can we be. Okay? And sheep are weak. You know. Most animals, you know, have some way of defending themselves. You know, mules can kick, and cats can scratch, and dogs can bite, and, you know, rabbits can run, and skunks, well, you know about them. All right. But here we have a situation where a sheep just kind of, when they see the wolf coming, they might be able to run a little bit, but not fast enough. And they just kind of sit in ducks, if I can use another animal image there. They just sit to stand there and get killed. They really need the protection of the shepherd and of the sheepdogs and others to keep away the wolf. And they need the protection of the flock. So we see that there's a lot of ways that animals can defend, but sheep are pretty weak, but so are we, you know. If it isn't for the care of Jesus, so easily do we just slide down into darkness, and we're easy prey for the devil. And we got to stay close to the Lord. And the devil can't get to us as easily. But if we were wayward and we wander, or we're witless and we go off and think dumb things, we're also a sitting duck. We're just waiting there to be exploited by demons, by the world, by other evil people, and so on. Boy, we're weak. We really need the care of the Lord. We got to go before him and say, Lord, I don't stand a chance if it's not for you, right? Okay, so three kind of negative images of sheep. But let's look at some positive images of sheep. First of all, they're worthwhile. You know, they're the wool is very essential, the milk, later on the mutton. I mean, all of these, the lamb's meat and so on, all these things, sheep are valuable animals. A lot of people counted their wealth in terms of the number of sheep they have, you know. So again, they're valuable, they're worthwhile. And so are you, and so am I. You know, the Lord died for us. He paid. He saw the price that our salvation would cost, and he paid it all. He didn't withhold one drop of blood. So you are worth saving. I am worth saving. And so we're worthwhile. We have gifts and talents that he can use. There's something about you that's unique in his kingdom that no one else can take your place. So you're worthwhile. So as sheep are worthwhile, so are you and I. Sheep also walk together. They do tend the flock together. They know they need some protection of the flock. So they're pretty good at kind of staying close or relatively close together. And they also are good at following the shepherd. And they flock, if you will. So they walk together. And so too, we need the protection of the flock. We need the church. We need to have membership in the church, protected in the church by the sacraments, by the care of good shepherds, by the care of our traditions, our teachings, just all the protections that the church can and must provide us. So again, sacraments, the Word of God, the liturgy, fellowship, holy fellowship, and so on. This the care of shepherds, all of this is part of what we need, all right? Now then, we also see that sheep not only walk together and are worthwhile, but here comes the one I want to spend just a little more time on. Sheep are wary. Now, I want to read you something that Jesus says later on in this same chapter that we read from in today's gospel. Jesus says, "He who enters by the door is the sheep of the shepherd. To him the gatekeeper opens. Now the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them. And he calls them by name, and he leads them out. And when he's brought them all out, when he's brought out all of his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger's voice they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So, are you smarter than a sheep? Am I? Sheep may not be that very bright, but they know this, you know, maybe a picture for you. They're in the ancient world, and even today, shepherds will also often corral in a fenced-off area or some protected area their flocks, and there might be several flocks, maybe a dozen flocks of sheep. Well, then how do they know which sheep goes with which? Well, the shepherds don't need to know that because the sheep do. And when the shepherd of a particular flock of sheep comes, he calls them with a kind of a sing-song, la, 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 la. And they know it's him and they come running and the other sheep kind of draw back. And you can even see this on the internet. Just go to YouTube and say sheep shepherd's voice and you'll see some fascinating videos about that. There's one scene there where these school kids are trying to call the sheep and the sheep are like, you know. And then the shepherd calls them and all of a sudden they come toward him right away. And so this is what they're particularly smart in. They recognize their shepherd's voice, but also they will not follow a voice they don't recognize. In fact, they will flee from him. So again, I ask you and me, are we smarter than a sheep? You know, it's astonishing to me how easily people can just sit in front of any stupid or immoral or, you know, just scurrilous thing and just sit there, you know, listen to it. Or, you know, read almost anything, look at anything, you know, listen to songs that are just awful and their themes and just any old thing. And we just go on, yeah, yeah, you know, it's cool, man. Tell me more, you know. But sheep know how to run from those voices that are saying something different than the shepherd. And that's where we got to get smarter. We got to have more respect for our mind and our intellect. We have to have more respect for our soul and not just expose it to anything. And I'll tell you kind of a funny story. It seems funny today. When we were kids, I was a kid in the 60s and early 70s. I remember one time we were sitting there watching The Flintstones, if you remember that old cartoon. And my dad kind of came in at some point, just turned it off. He said, "I don't want y'all watching that." "Oh, Dad, you know." And he said, "No." We said, "Why?" He says, "Well, I don't want you to have a steady diet of watching adults behaving stupidly. It won't help you to respect your elders. I won't have that in my house. It's not the mind of God." Wow. Now that's, I mean, The Flintstones, that's like really mild, you know, compared to what's served up today. And gosh knows what these kids are watching and listening to, seeing on the internet. My gosh. And we have to help them to respect their own mind. And we have to also respect our own mind and say, that's not the voice of God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, flee fornication. Just flee it. Run from it. You go to a movie and there's fornication. And, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's how these movies are. You know. And we just take it in, see? Instead of fleeing like the sheep, fleeing a voice that's not of the shepherd. And we listen easily enough to these false shepherds and their false voices. And before you know, we got everything backwards. See, the world's supposed to be on trial by the gospel. But we have the gospel on trial by the world. Oh, this gospel doesn't make sense. You know, this gospel is, you know, it doesn't, we're modern, you know, we don't talk, you know, backwards. It's entirely backwards. You know, we put the world on trial by the word of God, and we recognize our shepherd's voice, and any voice contrary to it, we reject. Or do we? See, that's what we're supposed to do. So, again, the question, are you smarter than a sheep? Am I? Now, the Lord promises great protection in this gospel, you know. He says, look, I'm the shepherd of the sheep, and no one can take them out of my hands unless we ourselves wander. So no one can come and take you away from Jesus. Only you have the power to do that. Only I do in my life. So, all right, I think I don't want to say a lot more. For some reason, my voice is raspy tonight. But I think enough has been said. I mean, are you smarter than a sheep? And what can we do to stay close to the Lord? See, you got to go and listen to his voice. Learn what he teaches us. The real Jesus, not this fake Jesus, that let me Jesus do, kind of wimpy Jesus. The harmless hippie Jesus. The real Jesus who speaks in the scriptures and warns us and tells us that about the proper priorities and will not brook people who are not willing to leave things and follow him. He can be tough. He's also consoling. But the real Jesus will say things that are very contrary to the way the world is today. The question is, what voice are we listening to? Who's really our shepherd? And where are we being led by that shepherd? To heaven with Jesus? Or, well, to hell? Okay, what was I saying? I think we'll leave it there, but I bless you and thank you for your attention. Happy Good Shepherd Sunday. Also, happy Mother's Day. And we'll continue our journey through the Word of God next time.